I mean, of course, if I was a Democrat there, I would vote for the worst possible Republican. That would be Boehner.
Well, that might be that might, but I don't know that that's the way their brains work. You know, it's not that.
Yeah, they're not that smart.
No. Well, it's you know, that's really kind of going back to that whole deep state comment. You know, one of the things is we've become, we've moved into something resembling a post-constitutional America. You know, that there are certainly elements of the Constitution that are there and being followed, but government and state actors have more and more moved into extra-constitutional things.
The Constitution, the courts have completely flipped it upside down. It's no longer a positive document of rights. I mean, the government gets to do whatever they want against you, and the burden is yours to prove that your rights were violated. So the Constitution, basically, the Supreme Court and everybody else is just torn up into shreds. It doesn't really exist.
Yeah, well, and I think until somebody finds themselves under the gun, as you found yourself, you know, in the crosshairs of people that didn't really care for due process and the Constitution and the like, until they themselves get their personal ox gored, you don't see a whole lot of evidence of people being, you know, completely exorcised over this.
No, because largely the press doesn't.
They get their personal ox gored. They're not in a position to do anything about it.
Well, the press in this country is very, it's a shame, but I mean, they will not defend the Constitution themselves. We don't have a free press as they do a little bit more in Britain. I mean, that's why Snowden had to go over to Britain to The Guardian to publish it, and then all the U.S. press pretended it was the first time we ever heard about it. Come on. I mean, we were talking about it 2 years in advance, you know, and it wasn't, you know, in secret meetings or something. So, you know, everybody that covers the Hill knew that they were taking everybody's emails and stuff. I mean, that was common knowledge.
Oh, they vacuum up, you know, this phone conversation as we're having is being routinely vacuumed up. And that's, it's not so much that, in most instances, it's not so much that there's some little guy on the other end of the phone, you know, transcribing what we're saying and taking notes and everything. But they just, they vacuum everything up. They run it through algorithms that do look for certain words and speech patterns and things like that, which might cause them to then zero in and have some real-life human being listen to a recording of this conversation. But they now want, you know, they now want total information awareness. They want to be able to track, you know, where you go, who you're with, what you spend money on, every phone conversation, every email, every website you click on, et cetera. And now that storage is so cheap, they just want to store everything forever, and if somebody like Martin Armstrong, we know is a troublemaker, but let's say somebody like me causes them a little more trouble than I'm causing them now, they say, well, give me everything on that Glenn down.
Exactly. I mean,
and
that's,
they pull everything up.
What people don't realize is that what I watched is how the government pretty much lies in all these trials, even against the mafia. No matter what you say, you can make a phone call and say, yeah, okay, fine, pick me up five pizzas on the way home. And an FBI agent gets on the line, it gets on the stand and says, in his vast years of experience, that's really a code word to go pick up cocaine. And I've watched them where they just pretend whatever it is you say. Some FBI agent gets on the stand and says, oh, no, that's really a code word for this. You know, your wife can say, pick up five bottles of milk. Oh, that was five people were coming over to do that. This is what they do. And I've watched it. It was just absolutely amazing. So storing everything that anybody ever says is highly dangerous. But the other thing in legal training that, you know, people don't realize is that somebody, somebody can say to you, did you kill your wife? Yeah, sure. When you transcribe that, see, he confessed. You know, they don't realize what the damage of this stuff really becomes. And anything you say, they can turn into anything. And a joke becomes a confession. So it's that's the danger of them vacuuming up everything.
Well, you know, one of my concerns has been, and now I've just kind of come to accept it operationally accept it, is that you expect that people are supposed, including self-described, you know, conservatives, you know, supposed to be skeptical of government. And in fact, you know, there's largely not that much skepticism. You see, most people, well, if something's done in the name of protecting you from terrorists, they say, well, if that's what it takes to keep us safe. And now, there's obviously a rising cohort of people who are on the right and on the left and wherever else they are on the political spectrum that have a healthy skepticism about these things. But it's still a pretty significant minority of the general population. So I all we can really do for the moment, other than to, you know, raise public awareness of the problem through things like this, is, you know, people need to, you know, act as if, you know, people that are aware need to at least act as if they're with the understanding that they are being tracked and that they are.
True, but I mean, my point is that it doesn't matter, because whatever you say can be twisted into whatever they need. So.
Well, okay. Well,
that's the danger.
Then they might want to be careful about what they say on things like telephones.
Yeah, about anything. I mean, picking up pizza and milk, whatever.
Yeah. Mean, no, be careful. Yeah, okay, be careful. Yeah, Guido, the pizza guy.
Yeah, I mean, some of the most, you know, innocent type things, they turn around and just, you know, I mean, I have seen, you know, affidavits of FBI. Oh, well, it was very suspicious. He entered an office and leaved with a briefcase. You know, it's like, why is somebody going in and out of their office with a briefcase suspicious, you know? But, I mean, they can basically do anything. But and that's my concern about it. It's, I don't think some nerd is sitting there listening to absolutely every phone call. But as you say, they store absolutely everything. And then whenever they want, oh, give me everything on this guy.
Well, let me ask you this. Given this reality that we just described, here's where we just did a quick brief synopsis of where we are in this political cycle and where we are in terms of the rise of the surveillance and so-called deep state. Tell me where you think that fits into some of the larger cycles that you follow routinely. That's what people, I'm sure, that are...
Well, largely when you start moving into this area, and every empire, city, state, nation has done so. And once you get to that point, that is more or less the end game. That when the courts are all corrupt, then you affect investment. How can you, you know, really invest if the government can just take whatever they want and say, oh, well, it's suspicious that you're walking around with $20,000 in cash? Which isn't even that much anymore, but you know, it's just crazy, and you know, the tracking wires over $3,000. So this whole FACTA thing is, I mean, the world economy is collapsing so rapidly, and it's very disheartening, because it's all about them and how much money can they get, and everybody's a criminal, and if you do anything outside, you must be doing it just to hide money. And it's just crazy, and it's a shame, but, I mean, Americans have been thrown out of absolutely everywhere. And so it's really hard, and anybody that's working for us overseas and comes here, they're interrogated. It's like, why are you here? You know, how many times? You know, it's like, but if I go overseas, nobody interrogates me like that. Oh, okay, fine. How long are you going to be here? Oh, a couple of weeks. You know, we're just over in Germany. I'm not harassed. Over here, I mean, the TSA people have called my phone twice because people have come in. Well, why do you need them? Do you really need them here? What is the problem with you people? You know, everybody's just, it's really very bad. But, you know, unfortunately, I think when the economy turns down, after, you know, from 16 into 20, it's only going to get worse. And that's when things really are probably going to start really popping. And because now your revenue is collapsing, so they're going to get less and less tax dollars. They're going to blame people even hiding it more. And it just becomes a vicious cycle until they self-destruct. And unfortunately, this is the way everybody has collapsed. It's not through hyperinflation. If you have a mechanism that you sell bonds and you have a police force and stuff like that, you use these things. You know, people have pointed out to Germany, hyperinflation, whatever. I mean, it was a revolutionary government. They didn't have any, they defaulted on all the bonds before, so there was no debt. And nobody would buy it, so they have to print. That's it. That was the only thing they had left. We still have bonds that people buy for now. And when that goes, now we're going to really start escalating down the, you know, the whole slope. So those are my concerns. Where do we end up with at the end? Do we end up with more authoritarian type government? Or are we going to recognize the error of our ways and go back the other way? But there is simply no way that this system can continue under this mechanism. And you can't continue to promise pensions and all this stuff to people in government, and then you just harass everybody that doesn't work for them and steal whatever they have to pay these people. It's crazy, but... you know, right at the municipal level, the system was never designed to last. They never funded pensions. Why should we? There's always somebody out there to tax. Well, when there isn't, you have trouble. And this is what's being caused. I mean, you have like a small municipality with 20 cops, 10 retire, but now you got to pay them, and then you have to hire 10 to replace them. So the cost of government starts going up exponentially, and that causes the whole thing to implode. So I don't think we have too much time left, but it's going to be interesting. So that's why I was curious with these elections. I mean, the real issue we'll find, it looks like the Republicans will probably take both sides, but the issue becomes leadership. Unless the leadership changes, there's not going to be anything that's going to happen from what I can see.
Now, my sense is that for any really fundamental change, I'm not talking about tinkering around on the margins, but anything that really alter the vector that we're on as an economy and as a society and as a government is going to be change that comes from outside the system. It's going to be when the Visigoths, you know, storm the gates of the barbarians, storm the gates and overthrow whatever the current order is. And that's the question that you just raised, is that, you know, that, hey, something like that's going to happen. A 21st century version of that is going
to come. Yeah, I mean, it has to happen because the system that they have designed is not sustainable. And we're seeing the meltdown of Europe as well, where Brussels has created a huge bureaucracy, and it's all about defending that rather than actually helping the people of Europe. So,
that's exactly
interesting
right.
Times.
Interesting times indeed.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. I think we're going to watch the elections next week, and it'll be very interesting to see where we go.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me.